welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the word of God, you are encouraged and challenged and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
From now on, why am I playing that song? You know, because you can make a decision from this moment on to shift some things in your life. When I said my wedding day vows, I said, from this day forward. From this day forward. And you know what? Some of us have walked away from those things we've promised or those things we've declared. But you can stand now in this moment and go, okay, from this moment on. You know, and when you watch that film, your emotions are stirred. What's really interesting is they sing that song near the end, but before that, they've sung a song basically like, this is me. The irony is, right, that in essence, they're declaring this is me, but that actually isn't them. They've come away from maybe who they truly are, and Hugh Jackman realizes that moment that he's walked away from the very treasure of his wife and the very treasure of his kids and the very thing that he set out to sow into and to build and to establish. He's been hijacked and he's been sidetracked and he's gone off on something, and what was so pure and so beautiful that God had maybe put together in the form of the marriage and the kids has now become a secondary thing to, I'm going to drink champagne with kings and queens and politicians will know my name, and actually, I need to come back to the place where I started. Come back to my first love. Come back to the place that really matters in me. Let me share with you this morning, and I'm going to speak particularly on marriage today. So don't zone out if you're single. Maybe you're divorced. Maybe you're sitting in here and you've lost your husband or your wife. Those are all parts of a journey. I would say to you, if you are married today, And I would encourage you to be accountable with somebody else in your marriage today. You know those people that have maybe journeyed, that are sitting in here, that have maybe lost husband and wives? Do you know what? They have wisdom that they've carried, that they've journeyed with, that they can sow into your lives. Some of you are sitting today here and you're struggling in your marriage. Maybe your spouse doesn't know Jesus and you do, and you're trying to work that out. Honor God first in that. Don't chuck them to the side, but allow God to work through you into their lives, not leaving scriptures randomly open and pasting things on a wall and, you know, like being a little bit like this, but really pray. Because I'm believing that if that is your situation, God is actually going to bring those people to Him through the gorgeousness and the beauty of who you are. Maybe in this place today, you're facing divorce. You know, and I don't know what that looks like. I would encourage you to be accountable to somebody on that and talk through that, because until those papers are signed, I think every situation is reconcilable. Every stress situation can be restored, renewed, and rebuilt, because we sang it. You're a God of miracles. You can move mountains. Oh, but God, you can't move this one. He can move anything He likes to move if He has people. And you know what the reality is? It might not move because people have choices, but in all things, keep your eyes on Him. So I don't know where you sat. You may be sat in here, you may be newlywed, you may be wed for 12 years, you may be wed for 50 years. But the church should have the place of the most flourishing marriages on this entire planet. Okay, let me say that again. The church should have the place of the most flourishing marriages on the entire planet. People should look in and go, oh wow, not perfection, but wow, this is an example how to do it. And if you are leading something, if you're a part of something, if you're trying to serve Jesus, I'd ask you to start to look at your marriage and say, am I serving? Am I working out of the fullness of my marriage? Or am I trying to do something on the side and then my marriage is something else on the side? Am I working out of what God is establishing amongst us in us as a couple? If you're single here today, prick your ears up, because I wish somebody had told me some of this stuff when I was younger. Or actually, maybe you're a little older and you think, I'm gonna journey into this. But here we go. Listen to this. God wants to build healthy, loving, and thriving relationships in friendships, in marriages, in us teaming together as church, in global church, whatever that is, healthy, loving, and thriving. That does not mean we excuse things. It means we address things. We look at things. But actually, our heart is to build, to establish, to renew, to restore, to rebuild, to uplift, to encourage, to make ourselves to get ourselves closer to Jesus than we've ever been before. That's what our goal is for one another. How can we be more Christ-like? Rob preached it last week. How can we be more Christ-like? Look at this, right? Marriage stats. It's on one of these slides. 50% of marriages in general, probably a little bit worse than that, don't make it. You know, the Bible talks about finishing well. Finishing well. God, yeah, we've started. There's not much we can do about what's gone on, but how are we going to finish? Are we going to finish well? Of those 50% who do make it, many lived unfulfilled, others are miserable, there's an absolute lack of intimacy, and they stay together for the kids. Some of these things we're going to address today, they may not have been said before in church. Why do Christian couples, and all I've heard, have the most boring sex lives? Why is that? Does it come to Jesus and be boring? Why do we get like that? Why do you sit in front of a lot of couples and they don't actually know how to engage in intimacy? They've forgotten how to hold the hand and walk down the street. They've forgotten to embrace. They've forgotten to do the kiss. They've forgotten to put the arm. They've forgotten to value who God picked for you and placed in your life and said, this is your knight in shining armor, not your in tinfoil. And this is your pinup. Your wife is your pinup, not some other poster. Don't get hijacked by something else because it ain't your best. If God has placed you together and you believe that and you said your vows in front of Him, and you said, that is your best. She is the absolute best. She's the hottest thing ever that you will see with your own. Don't get hijacked. The grass is not greener. It's not. And ladies, your man, he is a knight in shining armor. He may, his sword, you know, may swing around a bit. His tinfoil may be a bit bashed, but he is your knight in shining armor. Amen. Not your, I'm trying to think of another word for idiot, but I should have just said it. He's not your idiot in tinfoil. Oh my gosh. But why? Why do we settle for less? Why? Why do we settle for less? Because it's okay. The not even just the intimacy, but we stay for the kids. Why? The kids are on borrow to you for a season, for a time, so you can raise into healthy adults. They're going. Don't make it all about the kids. Because when they go, you'll look at each other and go, who the heck are you? No, it's not who the heck of you. This is the person you've placed together, built together, loved together. I love it. Shout it at me. Eh? Love together. You know? What does intimacy look like as you grow older? I don't know. I'm not there yet. But, you know, we come away from what God has placed together and we deal with this thing 50%. Look at this 50-50, right? Let me ask you this question. If the odds were 50-50, because that's what we said, if I said to you, okay, you carry on eating what you're eating, but the odds are 50-50, you're going to die next year. What would you do? You'd change your diet. If I said to you, well, do you know what? Leave your money where it is. The odds are 50-50. You could lose it. You could not lose it. What are you going to do? You're going to take time to look at it and actually say, how can I shift this? I don't like 50-50 odds. They're like me sticking my hand in the pocket and flicking a coin. Will my marriage work? Will it not work? Heads or tails? And we do that, even as the church. You know those stats, 50-50? They're no different in the church than they are in the world. Why? What God has placed together, we should be excelling and excellent in. But we look at these odds and we say, it's okay. And then we come to our marriage and we know the odds are 50-50 and we're like, boom. Here it comes. Please, maybe be heads, maybe be tails. I don't like her this month. Oh, it's tails. Yes, she's gone. Excellent. But that's how you think. We laugh, right? We laugh. But we've done it. And we've gone there with our thought life before we go there with our actions. What you allow to cultivate in your head, will eventually be outlived in your life unless you bring your thoughts into captive and get some good people around you and start to actually redirect what God has placed there. Because if you could have sorted out it on your own, you would have done it already. And you haven't. Or maybe you have. If you're that couple who's absolutely flourishing and going for it in a great season, please don't hold it to yourself. Invest in somebody else. Invest in, I know you need permission to speak into people's lives, but get in there. Talk to people. Ask God for that wisdom. You know, last week was one of the most exciting weeks of my life because we had Rob and Linda here. Do you know what? For me, at the beginning, it was one of the most petrifying weeks of my life. You know why? Because they stayed in my home. Do you know what happens when you stay in people's homes? You see everything. Me and Leah have not had such heated fellowship whispering. Are you raising your whisper at me? No? You can't. You can't just start yelling at each other because they're down the hall. You know, and we work together. We're part of Extend together. Sheesh, what are they going to tell Mike? Oh, my gosh. Walk out of the bedroom like, oh, everything okay? Yeah, great. Everything's great. Fantastic. And then I made the mistake of taking one of my children to the bathroom. We kind of developed this thing of, hey, kids, when you've gone beyond the measure, this is the place where we're going to talk about it and maybe you're going to get disciplined. I'm not going to say because somebody will pick me up on podcast and then have me before social services or something ridiculous. You know? And what I did was I started to talk to them in the bathroom loudly. The problem is I have no ceiling in my bathroom and they can hear upstairs what I'm saying. So Rob comes down and goes, ooh, tough moment. I'm like, what? I was just in the bathroom. He said, yeah, I heard. Do you know what though? It's real. It's real. Our lives on display. If I said to you as a leader of the church, I'm going to hide all this stuff so nobody else knows, I think you'd be pretty disappointed. Because actually my life is on display more than, and our lives are on display more than most people's. And last week we had to ask some tough questions and we're going to go and hang out with them in October and they've said prepare some specific questions that you need to ask us. Why? Because actually I don't want to just be a flick a coin statistic. I want to actually finish well. And I want to finish well with that woman beside me saying, this is still the greatest woman ever in the entire planet. Hey? Leah. Sorry. Leah. Leah's her name. I'm not just pointing at anybody random, okay? Hey, you over there. But 50-50. I want to share with you a couple of keys in the next sort of 15, 20 minutes. Number one, marriage was designed by God. It's God's design. Genesis 1, verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. He's just making sure you know he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air and the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God created, God established, and God set in place. He called it man and woman. I will say no more. Genesis 2 verse 18, it says, then the Lord said, it is not good for the man so to be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Therefore, a man, in verse 24, it goes on, shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And a man and his wife were both naked and not ashamed. Amen to that. And but you see, God puts together, he ordains, he builds, he establishes. He said, this is good. This is the place of intimacy. This is the place of love. This is the place of working each other out. This is the place of thrashing some things out. Guess what? When you came together, you were not two perfect people coming together. You came together, the Bible says, to become one flesh. And when you go take two things and try and mold them into one, even take Play-Doh and try and make it into one, you've got to do some molding on that thing. And sometimes some of us are not as pliable as Play-Doh, we're more like rocks. I am not budging on this thing. So it's like clang, 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 and then there's bits flying everywhere until we begin to become molded. Why? Because we're selfish. It's me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity. So God's design, his marriage was his design. Number two, God gave away the first bride. You know why we give the bride away? It's because God did it. He did it first. Watch this, Genesis 2:22. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from man, he made it into woman and brought her to him. He didn't go, okay, woman, find your way. Figure it out. It was like the greatest first wedding ceremony ever. You can imagine, because God walked and talked in the garden. He was like, Eve, actually Adam named her after it. He's like, yo, woman, come with me. And I'm going to bring you to Adam, who's going to love and he's going to lead well, hopefully. But he brought, God brings. That's why when you see ceremonies today, you often see a dad or somebody of significance of males in somebody's life. Walk them down the aisle. You know what also it is? A sign of biblical authority, biblical headship in place. You know, we gain, it's got hijacked. Years and years ago, we treated women like rubbish, and now then we get women trying to rise up and do things that, and it's all just out of sync like. If men, if we'd love and lead well, our wives would flourish and the women would flourish in our lives in whatever they are called to do. Not to lord, but to take our place. There's different purposes and different roles that we each take in our lives. Because when you carry something you're not called to carry, it becomes a burden and it weighs you down. And actually, you step out of a grace that God has called you into. I know that sometimes it's tough in our society with single parents. That is a tough place to be. And my hat goes off and I applaud and I think, my gosh, I have sometimes a week where I'm just on my own with the kids and Leah's going to do a mission trip or something and I'm thinking, jeez, how do these people do it? It is incredible. And you know what? God brings a grace in there. God brings a grace in the season that you're called into. But actually, there is an authority that God originally put in place. God spoke the design of marriage into existence. I read that, Genesis 2:24. But let's look at Matthew 19:4. This is Jesus. He answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning, made them male and female, and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. He brought this thing into existence. We allow men and other people to come and separate what God has brought. Whether we our eye goes or our ear goes or we wander off or we don't follow a pattern, you know. Why do so many marriages in church fail? Because generally we don't know what God's call is and we don't decide to work on ourselves but also decide to work on our marriage. We think we will be okay. We have pre-marriage. Woo, let's go to pre-marriage counseling, whatever you want to call it. We'll let in 10 sessions and we're ready to go. We generally do that after we've got engaged. So do you know what? Love is blind. So you're in love. So actually you don't actually care what the people in front of you are saying because you're not going to stop getting married. You're just going to do the course sometimes to say, I've done the course. You know what I'd love to see? I'd love this. That when somebody in their heart finds somebody and thinks, possibly. That they come to somebody who speaks well in their life. Maybe somebody with godly wisdom, not just with any wisdom. Poor, she's hot. Go for it. You know, well done. You beat everybody else. Now, with godly wisdom that comes in and says, hey, okay, let's have a conversation. I think she could be the one. Will you pray for me about it? Will you pray with me? Will we see? Can we see what her character's like? What is my character like? You see, because once the moment you fall in love, the saying is true, love is blind. You don't give a monkey's what anybody else is saying. You really don't. You're like, this is what I'm doing. And so whether they say yes or whether they say no, you are going for it. And if the church say, wait, think about it, maybe not, what generally we do is, oh, I'll find somewhere else to marry me. I don't really care. I've seen it happen. I've married two lots of people. I've said, just wait. I'm not saying no, but I'm saying it just needs some time. And one is on the rocks now and one is divorced within 2 years. And it's not a case of, I told you so. But it's a case of just wait. We want to set people up for the greatest win ever. And please, there's no condemnation here because there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. But actually, we have to, if we don't talk on these things and equip people, the next generation, and how many of you want your children to walk in the fullness and the goodness of what God has for them in this area of marriage and not to experience some of the muck that has to be experienced? Well, we got to talk about it. We have to talk about it. Otherwise, you flick a coin again. We flick the coin again. Number four, God performs the two become one flesh. Mark chapter 10, verse 8 to 9, and the two shall become one flesh, so they're now no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. God brings the thing together. God is the joiner. We think we are the pieces in the puzzle, but he brings together. This is not a casual agreement, but a divine appointment. It's not, this suits us. Let's just get a bit of a piece of paper. Or in fact, today, like, I'm not sure, why bother with a piece of paper? Because it's probably not going to work out anyway. So I hedge my bets. Don't hedge your bets. If you're in, you're in. Jesus didn't hedge his bets and say, well, you know, what I'll do is I'll just cut my toe and shed that blood. He got ripped apart for us. He's all in. And when we take this, we're all in. Why are we all in? Because marriage represents Christ and the church. This is the greatest picture of Jesus and his church. Marriage is a wonder, and we should be in awe of it. Right now, we don't know what we're in of it. We look at our society and we say, what is actually going on? What is it that we're calling marriage, and what is it that we're not calling marriage? And so the society is so confused. Do whatever you like, be whatever you like, follow that train of thought, and we know where we end up with absolute freedom. Anybody can do anything. Don't put anybody in prison, because actually they're free to do whatever they want to do. That's where we're going. No? In a few years' time, pedophilia will be legal. It will, because that's where we'll go. And everybody will justify it and classify it by some other thing. And we can shake our heads or whatever, but that is where society will go. It just goes and goes and goes, and we'll say, do you know what? People are born with it. That's the way it is. That's how we do things. So we have to know that there is an awe and a wonder placed in marriage. Look how God has brought us together. It is a miracle of how I met Leah. It is a miracle. It is an absolute miracle. I lived in a different nation. I was going to run away back to that nation. And somehow in a bowling alley on the 10th of June, I met Leah. How? How did that happen? It's a miracle. God brought that together. How do we stay together? It's miraculous. It's because of what God has placed together. Let no man separate. And sometimes we have to keep out other people in order to protect this. Not because other people want it sometimes destroy, but actually we let other things in and they cloud our judgment and we take our focus off this. Yeah. We take our focus off it. It'll be okay. It'll be all right. I don't have to spend time with her. Date night this week, don't worry about it. You know what, if I don't pick up the flowers, maybe if I don't buy the small chocolate bar. Holiday, no, Leah, let's just do something else. Let's do it for all the other people. But nobody's going to rush in and sort this out. Because this is what I'm called to look after. This is what we're called to cultivate. Number five, marriage is for God's glory. It's for him, it's through him, it's for his glory. Ephesians 5 verse 31, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife and the two shall become one flesh. We're reading these things over and over so they're established. 32, the mystery is profound and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Says that he holds fast to his wife and they will become one flesh. It is a sacred covenant. That's why sex is important to God. Jesus shed his blood. In the essence of marriage, when a husband or a man and a woman first sleep together and they're virgins, there's a shedding of blood. It's sacred. It's covenant. And again, there's not condemnation here. But I'm telling you what truth is. This is what truth is. It's rooted in the commitments that stand against the storm. When we say yes to something, I am committed. It doesn't matter what the storm comes. Do you know what? Oh, Leah, we're struggling a little bit financially. Oh, we got not one child, we got two children now. Oh, the car's broken down. Oh, there's the stress of the job. Oh, there's this and that. Do you know what? Those storms will come and those storms will go, but this is what sticks. As much as I absolutely love you all, and we pray for you as a church and those that are family here and that, do you know what? All said and done, this is the most vital thing. Because if this is not right, and if this starts to get messed up, this ain't happening. It really isn't. And so protect each other in their marriages. Pray for our marriage. Because you can sure as heck, the enemy will attack one place, and that'll be our marriage. Because if he can wreck that, I tell you what, he'll wreck this. It's so simple. It's not. It's very easy to see how he works. And you think, well, isn't there something more profound? No, it's quite simple. God, the genius of God is in his simplicity. Where was I? Marriage is a commitment. It is patterned after Christ's covenant and commitment to his church. Christ is coming back for his bride. And he's the bridegroom. And it's replicated in how we do it here on this planet. True people of God, if we are truly trusting Jesus, we believe in this thing. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for you, and he's coming back for me. And on that day, he's coming for a beautiful, spotless, mature bride. Somebody once said, if we get mature quick, Jesus will come back quick. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 11:2. I haven't got the scripture on screen. For I feel a divine jealousy for you since, listen to this, he's talking to the church, I betrothed you to one husband, Jesus, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. Jesus is pretty selfish over his church. This is my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. And I will build my church. Some of you need to get a bit selfish over your marriage. This is my marriage. And I'm going to fight for it. And I'm going to turn over every stone for it. I'm going to shift. I'm going to change. I'm going to realize that actually sometimes I'm a bit of an idiot. Sometimes I say the wrong things. I'm selfish. You know, sorry is not a bad thing when it comes with change. Not sorry for sorry's sake. Marriage puts the covenant relationship of Christ and his church on display. It puts it on display. Marriage is about displaying and telling the truth with our lives. You know, marriage is a picture of the gospel to people. How is it a picture of the gospel? Because in marriage, we show commitment. We love. We show submission. We show how to reconcile. We show faithfulness. I'm going to be faithful to you and to you only. We show renewal. We show discipleship. When kids come along or each other, do you know that your children are your greatest discipleship program ever? They really are. Those are the first little disciples that we get to raise. I can raise all the disciples I like out there in the schools and in the world and everybody else and stuff, but my three kids, Noah, Phoebe, and Willow. What am I sowing into them? Do they love Jesus? Do I look after them in a way that reflects that? Overcoming trials. What a great picture of a place to overcome trials. Accountability. Man, you don't want to let your thought patterns go somewhere. Be accountable to your wife. Tell her. It'll change stuff. Wife to your husband. It's a place of vulnerability. I don't think I've ever cried more, laughed more, and my heart is not hurt more in the presence of Leah. Why? Because I can cry and she's not going to be like, you know, shut up, you big baby. She's going to be like, yeah, here's a tissue maybe, or put my arms around you, or whatever it is needed for that situation. Or, do you know what? I love you, Heath, and it's okay. It's okay. You can be how you are in this place. But in that, she'll also make me accountable. And I've been resistant at times. Heath, go and see that guy. Now would be a good idea. You know, I remember one situation. She's literally sent me, it must have been 9 o'clock at night, and said, leave this house and go and see him because you need his wisdom now. And I was like, I don't need his wisdom. I can figure it out. No, I needed his wisdom. You know, sometimes it's great to have a bit of direction. And sometimes I still kick back a bit against it. I'm not saying we're perfect by any means. But I just felt I got to bring this to you this morning in our vulnerability. Marriage is a display of the gospel. I would say that our willingness to build healthy marriage reflects our love for Jesus and what he loves. Jesus, I love you, but I'm not going to build a healthy marriage. How do those two things journey together? Now, I know maybe it's tough when the other person doesn't want to follow Jesus, okay? But I'm talking in the general. When we as two believers sit together in the church and want to build together this thing called marriage. How does that work? God, I love you and I'm going to do my thing, but my wife, forget it. We're dealing with different circumstances when the other person doesn't want to follow Jesus. The Bible has verses on that and speaks on how you be that representation of Jesus to them. And we'll touch on that hopefully next week a little bit. But our willingness to build healthy marriage reflects our love for Jesus. We often say our marriage is great and it's perfect. I spoke to a couple once 2 years ago and they said, we don't need anybody else in our lives to marriage. I said, your marriage is absolutely perfect. I said, yeah. I said, have people in your home for a week and I guarantee you they'll have some input to put in your life. It's perfect because the only perspective you have is the two of you. And sometimes the only perspective in that is just you. I'm going to just take a couple more minutes and I'm going to finish this. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9. But he said to me, this is so cool. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. There are so many times in the place of marriage, building up to it, being in it, seeing other people, where actually, do you know what? I don't know and I don't have the strength to journey through that moment. How many of you ever felt like that? Please don't raise your hands right now. Where you just think, do you know what, God? I don't know whether to turn left or right or forward or backwards. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know who to talk to. I don't want to talk to anybody right now. I'm feeling worthless. I'm feeling useless. I'm feeling betrayed. I'm feeling hurt. I'm feeling all these things in this zone that is so close to this other person. And then the scripture comes and says, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. In your weakness, this is the moment where it's like throw yourself on Jesus and say, Jesus, I don't know. I need something or somebody. But we try and figure it out instead of, God, this is me. This is the rawness of who I am. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. No marriage is perfect at all. And sometimes when we share together, when we come together, when we're vulnerable and accountable together, you get to see the realness of who we are sometimes and who you are sometimes. And actually, people don't pull you down and go, oh, no, that is not. Why are you not more powerful? They actually lift you up. They pray for you. They want to encourage you. They want to set you free. They want to see you flourish. This is liberty, a house to flourish in. People are brought to places of decision in this house where it's actually continue how you want or God has freedom for you to walk in. But if we don't bring the issues, if we don't start the journey with them, they never get dealt with. But isn't it incredible that in our weakness, His power can come through? His power can come through. And that word power and strength is not just like, oh, you know, we're gonna hit the accelerator, maybe of a better car than a Beetle, but it's His miraculous, abundant power. I don't think our marriages as Christians will flourish without God. I don't think so. I don't think we can walk in the fullness of without Him. You may say, that's obvious. But sometimes we say it and it's not actually practically relating. We have a choice, one, to determine our relationship with God because He's all in. We have a choice there. And we have a choice of the quality of marriage now. Maybe we're not married. Maybe we will get married where we are married now and into the future. We have a choice of what that's going to look like. Five things, and I'll just share one with you because I haven't got time to do it anymore. Number one, seek God together. If you're not married yet, seek God first anyway. Seek God. Sue, can you just go back just for a moment, just to stick on that one for a moment? Seek God. Number two, fight fair. How many of you have never had an argument in your marriage ever? Good, I'm so pleased. But fight fair. What are you fighting for? Not against the other person. You're fighting actually to become closer and more intimate. No, I'm going to favor this person. I'm going to value this person. That doesn't mean you back down from what you feel, but you actually talk it through. Because otherwise, I've seen in many marriages where husbands literally don't have any trousers at all. And they don't love and lead well. They just get told what to do all the time. That's not biblical, what God has placed in there. Because you're called to love and lead well. You're called to actually protect. It doesn't mean you make all the decisions. You journey this thing together. But you fight fair. What's the fight on? Not maybe in the moment, in the heat, but the fight is on to actually, we're not going to allow the enemy to come in. We're not going to allow no wedges to come. We're actually going to bring reconciliation and we're going to flourish in this moment. and we're going to laugh out of this, and we're going to love out of this. Number three, have fun. No, I sometimes think that's one of my downfalls. I'm quick with the strategy. I know what to do here and to do there. And I forget we're actually called to have fun. My life should have fun in it. I had to answer a question the other day on one of these things that I'm doing. It says, well, what is the place or what is the things you love to do and the people you like to hang out with that lift you up, exhilarate you, and you can have fun with? Like stuff I like to do. Do you know it took me something like 10 minutes to figure out one thing that I love to do? I love to preach and I love to lead and I love to be married. But something that I couldn't even think. It took me a while. And I wonder why I grow weary in doing good. Because I don't know sometimes who to phone and go, hey, do you want to go? And then naturally, have a coffee. Yeah. Or when I'm frustrated, go to the driving range and just hit golf balls because I'm rubbish at it and, you know, just a way to get frustration out. But I don't know sometimes what that thing is that makes me come alive. You know, that outside of the other realms that I do. But have fun. What is that thing that you can do together that has fun? If you're a boring person before you get married, you need to shift that a little bit because you're probably going to be boring in marriage because you'll expect the other person to be like, oh, can you bring the fun? And you know what? They'll grow tired and weary and doing good. But actually, what is that fun going to look like? Number four, stay pure as each other. Hold each other to account. Watch your thought life. Watch your weaknesses in your life because we all have them. Things that come across our path and our eyes go and our ear goes and our head goes and you think, it doesn't he? It does. 76% of men are involved in pornography, and that's the same in the church. Don't tell me it doesn't, God. So what are we going to do about that stat? Fix it? Sort it out? Or are you just going to continue in it? You know? Let's face reality. This is reality. God doesn't want us caught up in addiction and things like that. He wants us to flourish. He wants a woman to be up and up, not to be second, third, fourth, fifth. And number five, never give up. I don't know where you're at there, but don't give up. If you are right at the end of your tether right now, I'm looking at you all smiling, you're all excited about marriage, you're pumped, but behind your faces, you might think, I just want to give up. Don't give up. Please don't give up. I walked in a place on Friday and I heard another marriage that I'd seen flourishing and had given up. And I'm like, and my questions were, who was around them? Who did they allow in? Who was speaking in? And the answer was nobody, nobody, nobody. Gone. I'm like, oh God. Devastation for these people. And again, there's no condemnation, but why should we not talk about these things to actually create a better thing for our children to walk in and for us to walk in? I can't not address issues if there's tough for sometimes for us. But I'll finish with this. Number one, seek God. Matthew 22, verse 37. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. No, it's actually not about, like, Leah is my one. She's my beautiful. But actually, my real one is him. Do I seek the one first? Do I seek the one? And on top of that, do I seek the one with my two? Do I seek him together? Or am I on some vigilante horse trying to build the church, trying to make something happen, and Leah is trying to make something happen, and it looks good because it's the church, but actually there's nothing that we come together on and build together on. Seek the one together. See, because here's the thing, right? If he's not the one, there's something else in the place of your one, and your spouse may be in that place. And the Bible calls that idolatry. It's worshiping something that shouldn't be in the place of where God should be. And we can idolize our spouse. We can idolize another person. Do you know what happens when we idolize them? Isn't it interesting? When we idolize them to a point, eventually we will demonize them. You think, Heath, it is, it's true. How many couples have you seen so in love? They're everything to me. And then walk away. Walk away. I hate them. I don't like them anymore. I'm going to stick fish in the curtain poles so when they have the house, it's going to stink. Don't ever do that, okay? But it's great. Good thinking, I thought, on the woman's part. You know? And we idolize and then we demonize. Why? Because we've put in place of the first love the wrong thing. And so they become more important. Maybe the kids become more important. Maybe the job becomes more important. Maybe a whole bunch of other stuff becomes more important. But seek the one. I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you have journeyed through a place where marriage hasn't worked. Do you know what? You're not a write-off. You're not a waste of space. You are a beautiful person, loved and cherished by God. We can't explain all of that. But actually, from this day forward, from this moment on, from now on, when Hugh Jackman looked at that picture and said, I've forgotten what my first love is. And maybe there should have been a picture of Jesus there, you know, and then his kids and his wife and kids and stuff. But he remembered. I've been caught up in all this other stuff. Maybe you've been hurt and betrayed. Maybe somebody has walked out on you. And it hurts. It absolutely sucks. And they've promised the world. But I want you to know God stands here today. And I pray there's people in your life that stand here today and say, he says, I love you. And just because that is messed up, you're not a write-off. God can still bring. Maybe there is another somebody. I don't know. I'm not going to prophesy stuff like that. That's not my deal. That's God's deal. Maybe you're in a place where marriage is okay. Do you want to live mediocre? Flick a coin. See where it lands. Maybe you've thought of getting married and actually you're in that place. Oh, I think I found somebody. Who are you talking to about that? Before you fall in love and love becomes blind and then you just don't care. And you don't listen. No. This matters to Jesus. Because it's his. He ordained it. He established it. He wants to work through it. He wants it fulfilled. And we're allowing it to be hijacked. We're allowing it to be hijacked. But in our weakness, his strength comes through. His strength comes through. Why don't you stand with me? I want to pray for you today, this morning. The first thing I want to pray is for you to seek the one. Maybe some of you in this room, you don't know who the one is. His name is Jesus. And he wants a relationship with you. So just with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you today, say, Heath, I don't even know the one, and I want to know the one. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's checking out. There's a yes inside of you, and say, Heath, I want to walk this thing of life right well. I want to come to know Jesus. Many people have made that decision. And we do it here in this church by, it's nothing special, just by a lifting of a hand, just so I can see your hand. And I pray for you. You can do it at home. You can do it in the car. You can do whatever you like. It's just how we do it here. It's nothing special about it. But maybe there's a yes in you this morning. If that's you, won't you just raise your hand and say, Heath, that's me. I want to know Jesus this morning. I want to know Jesus this morning. Awesome. Cool. Won't you just look at me now? All of you, just keep your eyes on me. Some of you got your spouses in another room doing kids' church, and it's all over the place. But I want to pray for your marriages this morning. I don't know where they're at. And I pray, even if they're in the best place, you're walking with somebody. I really do. But if they're not, from now on, what's it going to look like? These eyes will not be blinded by the lights. You know, from now on, what's waited for tomorrow starts this morning. Doesn't go with the song, but, you know, we'll go with this morning. Starts now. What decisions are we going to change? So maybe if you have got your spouse and you haven't loved them this morning, you can maybe get your pinkies to touch each other or something like that. You know, maybe your hands, I don't know. Any kissing, you can wait till afterwards, okay? Now, I watched a couple the other day in their 80s, was my estimation. They looked in the 80s. Walked down the road with their hand in hand, and then she cheekily squeezed his bum and smiled. I thought, what a man. What a great gift to receive. You know, why don't we do that? You know, it's beautiful what God has placed together. I think his mind was on something else. Like, dear, the walk sped up a bit. Let's get home. For coffee. Let me pray for your marriages. Come stand with me, Leah. Yeah. Father, I thank you for marriage. And I thank you what you've placed together, that you called it. You ordained it, you positioned it, you declared it, you created it, you made it beautiful. And I pray, God, wherever we are in this place, on that journey, for those that are married, God, for those that are married, maybe married and their spouses don't know you, and Father, that they will hear your voice and live a life that their spouse's eyes and heart is going to be turned towards you. God, we call those spouses to you, whether they're man or woman. God, we call them and we say, come on, Jesus, you desire them to be together on this thing, that their faith is united in you. And we're believing for stories of that, Jesus. And God, for those that are married in this place and maybe serving together, working together, being together as husband and wife, God, I call an accountability and a vulnerability on their marriage today. I pray, God, that they will actually look at their lives and address the things that they are journeying through, saying no longer will we just play flick a coin 50-50 chance. This is too high a priority to go with the odds of maybe or maybe not. And so God, I pray for them. God, for those who have lost and loved their loved one. God, I thank you that you step into that place of husband and wife. You step into that place of comfort. But I pray greater friendships around them, God. I pray greater intimacy, God. And I pray for an opportunity for them, if they've journeyed many years, to share their story with other people. The fun, their excitement of what has taken place in their marriage. Because one day, as believers, they're going to walk into heaven. They're going to see that loved one. And they're going to be so excited. Because they're just separated just for this moment in time. But it's still tough. So Father, I pray over marriages in this place of liberty, that we will stand for what is good, what is whole, and what is beautiful. No condemnation. No condemnation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.